Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday.
Good morning.
We got Bert Breer with us from the MMQB. He's tied up on his phone.
Must be a very important story.
I had sources.
What's with the tie?
What's with the tie?
What are you selling? Boy Scout cookies today?
If you follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
I had an awful travel day yesterday.
Oh, and you told people on Twitter? That's something new for you.
I'm just trying to do a public service, Beetle. Yeah. And now I got to go to New York today. I was supposed to go yesterday. That trip got canceled, so now I got to go today right after the show to go do our shows. Mm. Oh. I have like a 1 o'clock flight, so I'm hustling out of here. So I got to be ready to like just jump on the plane. As is. So
I thought you had a Boy Scout.
I put my tie on because that's why I wanted to do it later. Okay. That's all.
You guys are pitching tents or something outside.
No.
Just want to be prepared.
I'm not raising any money for anybody. Not going door to door.
No.
Do the Boy Scouts sell cookies? The hoodie with the tie is kind of a decent look, though. I don't mind
it. Not really.
I don't mind it. Pretty good look.
Artie? Come on.
I can always just cover it up, too, if it bothers you guys that much.
No, it's not even the tie. It's the dress shirt and the hoodie.
Is it really?
It doesn't bother me.
It's like super tool bag. Tool bag.
Yeah. It's not super tool bag.
Yeah, it's super tool bag.
Like tool bag, like Wall Street tool bag?
No, that's cool. You know Gordon Gekko?
No, but like it's like this is sort of like the fleece vest. The police vest is like the Wall Street uniform. That's like the Silicon Valley uniform.
What you're thinking, you need like one of those Patagonia.
I have one of those. Yeah, those are good.
It reminds me of when Shaq went on his new hoodie sport coat that he was trying to make all the rage. Yeah. I think he was probably an investor in the
hoodie sport coat.
We got to pull that up during the break.
I haven't seen that. What does that look like?
Basketball players.
It's like a sport coat with a hood.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was not a good... It did not take off.
What's up, guys?
All right, so Bert, now that we get that all out of the way, we're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Why?
Jim's there. We're fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
Totally
we're
good. Fine.
What are your early thoughts on the game?
Go, the matchup between these two teams.
The coaches. I mean, I think that that's the first thing you got to look at is Bill Belichick's ability to put together a defensive game plan with 2 weeks to work with versus Sean McVay and being able to morph the offense into whatever he needs to morph it into based on who's out there. And him having 2 weeks to get ready for Bill. Mm. And so I think that that's like that chess match there. I think is very, very interesting. And look, the Rams can hit you any way they want to. And so they can come at you and they can run for 250 yards like they did against the Cowboys, or they can come out and saddle up behind Jared Goff, which they had to do at points in that game against the Saints. I was really impressed with Goff in the NFC Championship game. I think it should be a great one. You know what?
Both guys, he and Mahomes, struggled early, and then they settled down and I think started to find themselves a little bit.
Yeah,
Goff made some really good throws.
Look, there have been a lot of questions about Goff's toughness. I think we started to see it a little bit in that Saints game. They get behind 13-0. That place was rocking, and to come back in that environment, I think you got to give him a lot of credit. Like he showed some sack in that game.
Coaches, to me are one of like the nice stories about this.
Yeah.
But isn't this game all about Tom Brady again in this spot?
Like, you mean legacy wise?
I think
his legacy is secure.
I think a lot of the storylines, yeah, legacy wise, do revolve around him. But I also think the outcome of the game is going to revolve in a big way related to him.
I think what's interesting about the Brady storyline going into this one is we're not comparing him to Joe Montana anymore. We're not comparing him to Jim Brown anymore. I think now we're comparing him to Jack Nicklaus, to Michael Jordan. To like, that's what's interesting about it to me. It's not like, I don't think it's any longer about like, he's the greatest football player of all time and he's running up the score on everybody else now.
Okay.
Like, now I think it's about,
I like that.
Like, I think now it's like from a national perspective, right? If we're taking the big picture view and how I think people will talk about this week, it's how does Tom Brady compare against some of the greatest athletes to ever live.
He needs six. He needs to get it to 6-3. Yeah. Beetle hit on it this week too. 6-3 looks so much better than 5-4.
I think it's a massive swing.
I know it's like
it's game set match.
And I know
greatest
it's like,
ever.
I know it's like a first take type conversation, but like I think it's actually pretty interesting to think about like Michael Jordan as a basketball player versus Tom Brady as a football player now. You know, like those are the sorts of conversations I think you can have because I think we're done with the best football player conversation. Like, I think that's over. And I think that's been over for a little while now.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it is around here. I don't know if nationally it's over.
I
don't know if it is.
See,
and I still think that people are talking about it. And I think that if you heard, did you hear Joe Montana in his Athletic interview?
What did he say?
He wouldn't touch, is Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? He said, well, you know, how can you compare guys in different eras? And even Joe Montana is starting to say, well, if Dan Marino played in this era, what do you think Dan Marino would be? I mean, that's the stuff that he brought up. He wouldn't reference Tom Brady's name when being asked about Tom Brady. He said everyone plays in different eras, and the only guy he wanted to name was Dan Marino.
Right.
So I think he's sort of trying to muddy the waters on this.
How old was Montana when he retired? Can we look that
I
up?
I can tell you right now.
I think he was 37. 36, I think. 36 or 7.
Okay, so you think about that, right? At 36 years old, Joe Montana retires. Brady turned 37 in July of 2014. This is the most amazing thing about this whole thing, right?
Joe's last year was 38.
38, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
So Brady turned, and he went to the AFC Championship game his second to last year, right? Like 93 was his second to last
93,
year?
93, yes.
Okay, so he went to the AFC Championship game his second to last year. I'm sure what Montana's referencing is, well, if there was the modern medicine that you have now, and if I could do all the things that Brady can do now, and if I wasn't getting hit the same way Brady is, then maybe I could have played 5, 6, 7 more years and added to Brady.
Well, listen,
what's so interesting about this, though, is that Brady turned 37 in July of 2014.
Yeah.
He has been to 4 of 5 Super Bowls since his 37th birthday. That
it's ridiculous.
Bananas.
It's crazy. No one's ever done that. No one's ever going to probably do that again. But when you listen to the answer, I shouldn't say listen, but when you read the answer that he had earlier this week, it doesn't go to that stuff. It doesn't go to the medical stuff, and maybe that's what he's holding against him.
I think, well, it's the rules. Like, it did sound like there was a reference to the rules in there, right? And the rules aren't just the passing game rules that inflate the numbers. It's also...
I have it. He said, here's the question posed to him. This question has been flooding my Twitter feed all day. I'm hoping you can answer it once and for all. Who's the greatest of all time, Joe Montana or Tom Brady? And he said, I don't think you can answer that question. He said, because the game's so different. You could talk about when I played, but even before I played. There are guys back there where you could basically almost tackle a guy off the line of scrimmage. I don't know how you could compare guys of my era to that era and how he would have played in this era. And how does a guy like Marino, holy crap, how does he play in this era? And that's all he said. Yeah, he can't really answer that question.
He's talking about the rules. Like, he's talking about the rules.
To a degree.
He's talking about the rules against receivers.
He's talking about the game being different, not only just because of the rules. I know a lot of it's forced by rules, but some of it,
the rules lead to different things. We've seen more innovation offensively.
You can still run the ball 50 times a game if you really wanted to.
You can't hit the quarterback the same way.
No,
which is,
you can't.
So, I agree with...
The hit that Joe Montana took in the NFC Championship game in 1990 doesn't really happen anymore.
Right. I agree with what he's saying. I agree with what he's saying in that the statistics, like, we can't look at Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, like, we can't look at those guys' statistics and just compare them black and white to Joe Montana and Dan Marino. You can't. Like, they're not the same.
Right, right.
As far as accomplishment
goes,
though...
What do your eyes tell you, Joe?
Yeah, as far as accomplishment goes, like, I don't know what more Brady would have to do.
Right.
How many different sets of players has he won with now?
Well, that's a whole nother thing,
different
too.
Different sets of players.
And you said, well, he had a better defense. No, Joe had, like, Ronnie Lott.
But here's the problem.
Charles. Now, Joe did win two Super Bowls without Rice. But
this is the problem when you say this, though, because you're then opening the door for the Joe Montanas of the world to say, you're right, you can't compare the stats. 6 Super Bowls, 5 Super Bowls now, it's worth the 4 that I had.
See, and I don't think that's right either.
And I don't think it's right. I don't agree with that, but that's what it does.
I think the passing numbers, you can't. Like, that's 100% right. Yeah. Right? Like, you cannot. Like, what was a great season in 1985 is a terrible season now, statistically, right?
Right.
So you can't compare those. Championships, you can. Accomplishment level, you can go in and you can look at it. Like, we can't just completely dismiss everything that these, like, because that sounds to me like the problem with, like, what Montana's saying there is, it sounds to me like just a blanket dismissal of anything that's happening with quarterbacks now, doesn't it?
Yes. It does. It basically sounds like, this area, you can do whatever the hell you want. Doesn't matter.
Right.
That's how it comes off. Whether he means it that way or not, I don't know. But that's how it sounds to me. That's how I interpret it.
And let's call it what it is. It comes off as a little bitter, too.
Oh, yeah. But, that goes on all the time.
Right.
Right? I mean, you get guys from different areas that are bitter about whatever guys are doing now, whether it's the statistics they put up, the money they make. I mean, it's a lot of things
right.
that sort of go into that. The modern medicine that they wish they had when they were playing, you know, to be able to get the procedures that some guys have had to continue their career and prolong it. All of that stuff plays a factor.
Right.
Joe sounds a little bitter.
Yeah.
He does. But as far as his game goes, from a football perspective, I get it. Coaching, very important. And it's sort of interesting because of the guys being on different sides of the ball. But I think the story and the thing everyone watching this game is thinking about is the Brady factor,
Brady.
His legacy. And as you said, not only comparing him to football players and Joe Montana, but Michael Jordan and, you know, whoever else you want to put in
Jack
that conversation.
Jack Nicklaus, Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky. Yes. Is he better than Wayne Gretzky? I mean,
those are the kinds of things that come into play. And then everything else falls in line after that. It's Brady 1 and Bill 2.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You guys, go ahead. Oh, nice. Got my hair gel.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear coach.
There you go. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
I mean, it would be easy to call that embarrassing. It would be easy to do that. But it's L.A. I thought you were soft to begin with. Not even mildly surprised at the media saying happy birthday for the head coach in L.A.
Better or worse than the
You're not a real market.
We call it like we see it.
You're not a real market. You're not a real sports market.
No.
You don't have any fans.
All right. We call it like we see it.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but that's the odd statement.
Is this better or worse than the onesie?
Look at this. How cute.
Oh, that.
Is everybody or just somebody special? That's all I'm going to ask. Yes.
That was from one guy, right?
Yeah.
Was it from one individual?
Giardi.
No, it wasn't Giardi.
The idea of Giardi
everybody in the room chipped in 40 cents and got
you
a
onesie. You know what's wrong with that, though? The idea of Giardi shopping for onesies is pretty hilarious. We can roll with that.
Every year at camp, we're down here at camp and we see everything. And every August 3rd, guess what happens? They bring it out, the cake, and it's going to be a 5,000-piece cake for, say, happy birthday to the goat. And there's going to be a goat petting zoo and a G-O-A-T, and you can take your picture with it. And then they bring a 12-foot card over. And there are fans, men, with other people's names on their back, lining up and waiting in line with water bottles to sign a birthday card that the man's never going to see.
Look at this. How cute.
He never got that card.
No, they loaded that back in a little John Deere trailer
and brought it over
directly to the dumpster.
We saw that sucker. That thing was making mock speed.
I saw it when they were driving across.
How do I know that? I watched it happen.
What'd you get, McVay?
What you saw?
I'm like, oh, there it goes. That's what they do with the car.
It went to the dumpster?
That's not the player's parking lot. Where are they taking that thing?
I thought they'd be loading it into the back. I thought they'd be loading it into the back of Tom Brady's Raptor.
They're wrapping it. Yeah. What'd you get, McVay? Nice pair of pants, nice pair of new jeans, size 28-30.
Oh, that was bad, man.
Apparently they left him hair gel at the podium, too. Little gift.
Oh, nice. Got my hair gel.
Yeah, okay.
He's got a little Gruden in him.
Yeah, he does have Gruden in him.
He sounds like Gruden.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear coach.
There you go.
Hold on.
Doesn't that sound like, don't they
who's
sound
the,
Canadian?
Who's the coach. Horsehead? Coach. Who's the guy from Minnesota?
Happy birthday, coach.
Happy birthday, dear coach.
Coach.
We also coach. Got you. We got Joe Horty's gift card underneath. The gel there too.
Hey, Bonesy,
we're gonna sing happy birthday to the coach today.
Oh, I'll get down there right after I finish my back bacon. Be right down.
Happy birthday, dear coach.
Bonesy, you booked the hotel rooms in Atlanta?
Oh God, I didn't want to talk about that, eh?
Hammer those drip spots in the trees there to get the maple syrup as it drips into the bucket.
I mean, what? Is that singing?
We're gonna have fun with this clown coach, for a week.
What is that crap? Oh, L.A. It's going to be very disappointing if the Patriots lose this Super Bowl to a fraud town like L.A. What a joke.
I was actually sort of hoping that the Chargers would win the Super Bowl just to see the parade.
Yeah.
That's what,
there wouldn't be one. They wouldn't have one. And I don't. What will they do if the Rams win? They really going to do a parade?
There
for the
Rams? Are some like the Rams at least
all
have
six
some
of them
fans.
To show up and
the
go
Chargers.
To...
Yeah,
617-779-0985. We're talking about Tom Brady and his legacy and what this game is all about with the head coaching matchup as well, McVay versus Brady. You think Belichick factors that in terms of his own motivation for this game? Not that he needs motivation,
sure,
but that he wants to crush some young hip type of coach, crush him like a bug.
This was him, though. Like, if you want to go back 25 years, this was him.
Yeah, but, right. I go off what Van Noy said to us the other day. You know, just the...
He was the boy genius.
We got humbled.
He didn't get his chance as early as McVay did, but he was pretty young when he got his shot. He was in his 30s. So he was this guy 25 years ago.
Yeah, I still think there's a part of him that's going to want to crush
him. Yeah, I think there is. I do think he's got respect for him, too, which you've heard this week. Like, for everything, for all the jokes that everybody's made about, you know, friends of McVay.
Well, he's also a legacy. Don't forget that part of it, too.
Who?
Like,
Sean? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's grown up in the game, so to speak. Right. Right? And that always earns points with Belichick.
I'll say this. He's legit. Like, for all the jokes about friends of him getting coaching jobs and everything else, like, this guy is absolutely legit.
Like, legit to quit?
He turned Goff around. Goff was terrible under Jeff Fisher for one. Like, he turned him around like immediately. They're creative offensively. He's a force of nature from a personality standpoint. He gets guys to play for him. And you know, one of the things I think you should give a lot of credit to McVay and his staff for. Look at the guys they brought in the offseason: Tlaib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh. Though I'm not saying it's not just spending. They brought in a bunch of guys with skeletons and
badasses.
Like, and a lot of coaches wouldn't be able to handle that, right? Like, we've heard all like so often we hear about like cleaning out locker rooms and needing to set the culture, and they were welcoming guys like that in.
Yeah, but those are all defensive guys, and Wade's got them. Like, Wade will get them to play for him.
Yeah,
Wade's good.
Being able to just balance all of that, I think, has been impressive for a guy that young.
Let's go to George, who's in Methuen. Hi, George.
What's up, so?
What's up, George?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
What do you guys think, right? Win or lose? Should Brady get 2 Hall of Fame inductees for pre-knee surgery and after post-knee surgery? What do you guys think about that? 2, I think so. To me, he should. He deserves that. Thank you.
Okay, George.
So how would that work? Would they like induct him?
Work with him, Bert. Bert, listen. Talk radio, you got to work with the callers, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you got to help them refine their points sometime.
The only thing could be worse than
I know
Paul
what he's saying.
Is
two separate Hall of Fame careers.
Okay, he's got two sort of separate eras, if you will. He's got the first part, which is winning 3 out of 4.
Pre-knee.
And, you know, being as good as he was early in his career. And then he's got, you know, sort of that post part, even though I think it maybe started around 2007, the way they started throwing the ball. But he's got sort of that post part that's been a little different than the way it looked in the beginning.
Think about this, right? So he's going to... If he wins here, and say he wins here and he were to walk away after the game, right? Then you have 6 Super Bowl rings. I don't think there's another Patriot with more than 3, right?
No.
No, because Wilfork was one that crossed over from one era to the next.
He and Gostkowski are the longest tenured players.
Nobody has more than 3, right?
No.
So, like, think about that accomplishment. Like, he won six with the same franchise, has double what anyone else in that franchise has.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. That means you're winning with, like, completely different groups of players.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the most impressive things. Like, you look at that. You went. That's almost like,
I think Wilfork may be.
Wilfork was the one.
That, I think he's like, the only other crossover.
That won, like, won both in 04 and
in both parts.
Right.
But he was not there for the first
multiple. Right.
He wasn't there for the first two. Yeah. Right. I think he was the only one.
I think he's the only other crossover they had, yeah. So that tells you.
I mean, it's that's incredible.
It's not like there was.
That's incredible.
Right. There's not anybody with four. There's not like there's anybody that hung on for one more at the end there. No. There's.
Right.
You got the guys who were on all three teams in the beginning that have
And three. If you look at like the Steelers of the 70s, like Bradshaw won four, but a mm-hmm. lot of their guys won four.
Yeah.
Montana, there were less Niners that were there for all four because they're a little more spread out than the Steelers. But there were a couple.
Well, doing
I think,
it. See, I think doing it in two different eras for all the reasons you're talking about, different players. Different style of play.
Well, he played in that SmackDown rough era early where you were able to kill quarterbacks. You had running games.
Different competition.
The game rules were different.
I mean,
in the finesse league.
To do it in two, you know, to have a gap in there between multiple Super Bowls of a decade is just, it's that part's wild.
And
that's never happened before.
And have an ACL injury separating them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you have like major reconstructive knee surgery separating the two. It's incredible.
Yes. I mean, you could break apart. This is the amazing thing. You could break apart Brady's career in the middle. Pick your spot, whether it be the ACL, whether it be end of 2006. You break it into two, and this is probably what he's asking. Do you have two Hall of Fame careers?
You do. I think you do.
And I think that's what George is getting to. So his
because
point
the
is
first
not,
one,
his point is not so silly, now is it, Bert?
Well, no, but the first one is like
question one.
So there's not great like there's so that's only 7 years the first one, right? But he won three. He had an undefeated season on top of that. Like that's better than what Kurt Warner did, who was also dealing with the longevity issue, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So he gets in off of that.
Based on Kurt Warner being in, yes, that career would get in. Let's go to Mike, who's in Virginia Beach, Mike.
Hey, well, I might have called prematurely, but you guys have since kind of made that point. But the suggestion that McVay is now doing what Belichick did 25 years ago or somehow there's even a comparison, there's really not. You know, that. And by your
Wait,
words...
Wait, we don't know that. We don't know. Do we?
Okay, so what is... So McVay has an actual...
All I'm saying...
No, you're right. McVay's better in his 30s than Belichick was. McVay's in the Super Bowl. Bill never did that.
All I'm saying is,
Bill was actually busy doing the only thing that anyone's ever done, which is actually getting a playbook in the Hall of Fame. So, you know,
but
I mean,
well, all right. Like, so if you want to compare the two, you can also say that Bill got fired from his first job as a head coach. McVay's won two division titles in his first 2 years, taking over a broken franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs in 13 years. I'm not trying to compare them side by side. All I'm saying is like, what Sean McVay is, what their people are building him up to be right now, that's what Belichick was on the defensive side of the ball in the late 80s and early 90s. Like, they're sort of the same sort. It's the same sort of thing.
Yep. You know what? I will stand somewhat corrected in that. I don't entirely disagree. I just think that, you know, we don't need to.
Oh, you're so sensitive, Mike. Mm. That's so annoying. Bill Belichick became a head coach when he was 37 years old, correct? Yeah.
I think it was
first time in Cleveland.
Yeah, it was
37, 38, somewhere in there. He was in his late 30s.
Right. And at the time, like getting a head coaching job at that age was probably like getting a head coach when you're 30 now.
Yes, because they didn't hire young head coaches back then. They just didn't. That's not something they did. You had to pay your dues, which was stupid. This way is better.
Yeah.
To get the younger head coaches in there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's better. It's you get some new blood, some fresh blood in there, ideas.
And look, there are going to be some swings and misses when you do that. But
how dare you compare a young head coach to another young head coach? How dare you, Bert?
I'm not comparing.
Bill Belichick was just getting playbooks into the Hall of Fame in his 30s.
Yeah, stupid.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. There is a parallel there. They're both young head coaches. Bill Belichick was sort of the, you know, boy wonder when he took over the head coach in Cleveland, and they were hoping that maybe he'd still be in New York with the Giants at that time. And, God, I hate that.
It's so.
I hate that heightened Patriot sensitivity.
If you don't bow down and say everything that ever happened here is the greatest thing to ever happen, then you got a problem.
No, and you can't even talk about any similarities between anybody with the Patriots and anybody else.
It's
because there are none. They're not similar to anybody.
We just got done. We just
there
got
is
done
the
for,
Patriots, and there are no similarities to anybody because they are so unique.
The best part about
so
that is
and they win.
We just got done with 20 minutes of comparing Tom Brady to Michael Jordan. Wayne Gretzky. And the minute we come off of that, phone rings. Who is it?
Yes.
Yep.
Of course.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going to go knock this mask out of here. Go get him.
They're not happy with me right now. The NFL is calling my phone, blowing me up, saying that, you know, I put him in the hospital. So I got to go check on him, make sure he's okay. But do I regret it? No!
Talked about this yesterday briefly. Jamal Adams tackling the Pat Patriot mascot at the Pro Bowl. I thought it was a setup. I thought it was staged.
I still think it's a setup. I think he knew it was coming because he turns at the last second when he sees him coming. Like,
well, Pat Patriot was still out there, wasn't he? Like later, I haven't seen the video, but apparently, like later in the day, he tackled Jamal Adams.
You ever put the Pat Patriot head on?
No.
So when Pat Patriot turns to look back, those aren't real eyes.
He's looking through the mouth.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Great.
There's a little 3-inch box like in his mouth that he could see out of. So I think it's pretty damn hard to periff anything unless you turn and you're looking head on.
Reading from the MMQB on this, thankfully it appears the man who plays Pat Patriot wasn't injured. Adams' initial claim that the man was hospitalized has been clarified by the Patriots on Friday. A Patriot spokesperson told the Providence Journal's Mark Daniels that the man was not hospitalized. However, the man did seek medical treatment from the on-site medic for what the spokesperson described as a painful attack by Adams. To that point, the tackle itself was not, as some have speculated, staged. Also, according to a statement issued by a Patriot spokesperson to WBZ-TV, Pat Patriot is merely sore. Such a mild description suggests that while Pat Patriot probably endured pain, he should be okay.
Well, then I heard like later in the day he was back out there. Like he was back out like doing the festivities.
Well, yeah, they said that he saw treatment on site and went back to work. So, right. Or was...
Well,
was
so it's like, hold on, Bert. Hold on, Bert. It's like Jack Youngblood in Super Bowl 14.
Let's say what you heard was correct. All we really know is that the Pat Patriot mascot costume was back out there.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
We don't know what
it is. That's a very good point.
Right.
There are two guys that do it.
So it's not staged. Jamal Adams, you jerk. What are you doing?
What a tool bag.
Like, what are you doing? You're an NFL player. You flat out tackle a guy?
Did you see the interview he did with Diana Rossini?
Would you sue him if you're the mascot? I would take him to court. Let's go to court, you dummy.
Say, take care of me with something.
Sue everybody.
What are you doing? Why would you do that?
I was like, yeah, the NFL's blowing up my phone. I got to go deal with them. Check on this guy if he's right.
Like, I don't.
Do I regret it? No.
Seriously. I think it was supposed to be a joke that like probably went a little too far.
Bert, he leveled the guy. Did you see it?
Yeah, good, but Bert. He did.
I'll go down the South Station, just take a run at the store, and just clock people. Oh, it's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah, see what happens.
I don't know, man.
Look at you.
Yeah, what happens.
I'm just kidding.
It was supposed to be a joke. I don't. It's
if
a joke,
he did something, if he did something like. Like malicious, and he really hurt. It was
that is malicious. How is that not malicious?
What if this was the Buckeye?
You tackle an unsuspecting, average guy inside a costume? Like, what are you talking about?
What if you did that to one of the guys at Chuck E. Cheese? At Chuck E. Cheese, blindsided
you get arrested.
What if you did this at Disney World?
Like Terry Tate,
right.
Office linebacker.
But there's
all kinds of hijinks going on out there. There's lots of physical interplay with the mascot and other people and all this stuff. And he turns around and he didn't like totally pile drive him. He takes him down.
Watch it again.
And then
he just doesn't really.
But
totally
he was hugging.
He just leaves his feet. He just Terry Tates him.
He just gave him a hug.
Give me a break.
All right, he de-cleated Pat Patriot. What do you want to sue the guy?
I think that's. I think it sucks.
Off the ground.
I don't like see a whole lot of intent to injure. I see intent to embarrass there. I don't see intent to injure.
Yeah, because he's a dummy. That's why.
He bear hugs him.
Idiot. What an idiot. I think Jamal Adams is an idiot now.
That's jackass Jaguar talking crap over top of him.
it looks to me, I don't know. We're looking at that now. It looks to me like he's trying to like bear hug him and let him down to the ground. It's not, if you really wanted to like destroy the guy, he could, obviously. I don't think he's trying to do that there.
That would have been a roughing the quarterback in the first one.
Let me ask you, Bert, how do you destroy him? If that's not destroying him, how do you destroy him?
You lower your shoulder into him. He didn't lower his shoulder into
him. Oh, okay. He only left his feet. He didn't lower the shoulder.
And he doesn't put his weight down. You see, he stops his weight with his hands. He doesn't.
I don't think it's like, I don't know.
He launched.
It doesn't look like he's trying to hurt
him. His intent with the crown of his helmet.
Bert, I'll tell you what. We'll line you up and we'll let Jamal Adams come at you. Same speed, same tackle, and see how you feel.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, good.
Sign me up.
There you go.
Sign me up.
Bert's ready to do it.
And here's the thing about mascots. You assume because Pat Patriots like, walk around, he looks like this big dude, and you think it's, you know, some, you know, like strapping, you know, like 20-something-year-old kid in there. If it's who I know Pat Patriot to be, I spent 5 days on a bus with Pat Patriot going to Houston. Not a spring chicken. Nice guy. Not going to sue anybody, I don't think. But he is not just a football player dressed up in a costume.
Tell you, the first thing I thought of was first thing I thought of is what if it's a woman in there? That was the first thing.
Jamal Adams doesn't know who's inside the costume.
Right. That part
is no idea.
Of it, yeah.
But you also
that's why it's stupid because like you don't know.
Oh, okay. Now he's stupid.
I don't think it's vicious. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's vicious.
But you also have to see all the stuff that was going on up until that point. Was Pat Patriot running around, rolling around on the ground, doing lots of other physical stuff? Did this just seem like more horseplay that went a little bit over the line?
Horseplay is the right word for it.
So the story that I read was that the Pat Patriot was being booed by the fans. And Jamal Adams was signing autographs, and he heard the booing of the Pat. And he's like, all right, let me get the fans on my side. I'm going to go hit him. That's the way I took the story when I read it. Like he wasn't inciting him. The Pat Patriot was being booed because the fans just hate the Patriots.
Us against the world. It's unbelievable. We need to have a rally for Pat. I hope he'll be there Sunday.
Win one for Pat.
You know what we got to do? Dress somebody up like Jamal Adams in a jet uniform.
You could do the Pat Bowlen thing. Kraft could do the Pat Bowlen thing after this.
Bert's going to volunteer. Bert will dress up as Jamal Adams, and you can pick any Patriots defensive back to do the tackling. Bert's willing to do it.
Look,
if it's all
for fun.
I
seriously look at that like I don't think he was trying to injure him. Like if he really wanted to hurt
him. Obviously, you don't want to hurt him.
I don't think he went into saying, I want to hurt the guy. Could he have hurt the guy?
Yeah, he could
have. Of course he could have. That's why you shouldn't do that. Yeah. Unsuspecting person just doing their job, he could have hurt them. Ibby's in the van. Ibby.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Ibby.
What's up, Zoe? I actually got a high five from you after one of the games. I work at Gillette as security.
Nice.
How long before you washed your hand?
Shut up.
You don't wash that hand. You get a high five from Zoe. You hold that thing. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. His hand touched Zoe.
I thought you said me.
No.
I haven't washed it since. Oh. So I just wanted to talk about when you talk about Tom Brady's legacy, kind of can think about Kobe. Kind of having like two Hall of Fame careers getting both numbers retired. Yeah. So hopefully when Brady wins his third one, it will be like three championships in kind of like two careers, you could say, since he's been playing so long. And one other thing I just wanted to ask, I haven't been listening much because I started school this week, but I don't know if you guys covered the laser going in Tom Brady's.
Yep, covered it. Talked about it. Did that on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, early in the week. Get his thoughts on the laser beam, Bert.
I don't really care.
Are you upset that there's not a full-fledged investigation of the matter?
Did the team do it or did a fan do it?
A fan did it.
A fan did it. So what?
The league said they're looking into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, take the guy's tickets away,
see,
whatever.
Here's the difference between – this is what I would like the difference to be between the rest of the NFL and New England. Stop whining. Don't be like everybody else. Don't be like the New York Jets and Eric Mangini.
That's why they don't.
Don't be like the Indianapolis Colts. Don't be like the Baltimore Ravens. Just do you, okay? Don't cry about things the way the rest of the league cries about things. Don't stoop down to that level, please, because we all hate those people. We hate the people that do that.
I hate the like. What about? Well, what if? What if this team did that? Like what if this happened in Foxborough? Like what this team did? What that team? Like, I hate that. It's just annoying.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, you'd get nailed for it. Yep. So I'm not going to sit there and whine about that. Like, oh, what if a Patriot, what if that happened in Florida? What would they be saying?
Yeah.
They'd be saying, you know,
that there's more hijinks in Foxborough. That's what they'd be saying.
Right.
They'd be accusing you of being cheaters.
What they would be doing is
comes with the territory.
They would be identifying that you're sensitive because you acted that way, and then they would be pushing your buttons. That's what would happen.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kids got a lot of talent. Again, these guys worry about football. They worry about everything except football. Worry about football. Man. And you know what? Oh, it's okay. He's going to sue you. You could take it to the bank. He's got lawyers in his hospital sticking cards in his room into his toe right now, which is up in a sling, okay? And he's got lawyers standing outside bribing orderlies to get into his room so they can stick cards in his bed and please call me. I can get you $100,000 in 2 days. Call me. They'll settle. Call me, and they will settle. You can take that video to court. It's going to do you real good. It's assault. And you got hit by all-league tackle. I mean, all-league safety. He tackles you. I didn't see the video. Did he hit him remotely hard? Did he hit him fairly hard? Okay.
He kind of brought him down from behind.
Good. Absolutely, the guy's going to say he's got a concussion. He's got a cervical sprain. He's got this. He's got that. It cost him some money.
The best part of that is Francesa didn't even watch the video.
I haven't seen it.
But the guy that did.
He's got bribing orderlies, and he hadn't even watched it.
The guy that didn't watch the video.
Did he hit him remotely hard? Did he hit him fairly hard?
He kind of brought him down from behind. That's being kind of brought down from behind.
He didn't bring him down from behind.
Here's the part about that would suck, I think, most if you're Pat Patriot. The big head, right? As we know, doesn't go all the way up. So,
right. That's what.
When he lands on his back, there's something in that headpiece where your neck is probably going to be like up against, you know, the rigid
part
of it.
It's all foam.
I don't think it's paper mache. So it's the chicken wire. No.
It's assault.
Assault.
Wait a second. Francesa, you've seen the video if you're talking about this, right?
It's assault.
But you've seen it.
Some papa.
You must have seen it.
I didn't see the video. Did he hit him remotely hard? Did he hit him fairly hard?
What is he so angry about starting his talk if he didn't see the video?
What's the
apparently he's got lawyers lining up.
What's the Adam Sandler movie where he goes, "That's assault, brother"?
I don't remember.
I don't know. He's standing outside.
Is that Billy Madison?
Bribing orderlies to get into his room so they can stick cards in his bed.
Cards.
Between his toes.
It's a special big game edition of Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Scores a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom. Shop early for the big game and save now at stopandshop.com. I think it was
Billy Madison.
With it not being staged, it's wrong. What are you doing? What a jerk move on his part. 617-779-0985. Let's go back to your calls. We got John, who's in Boston today, up next. If I could hold on 1 second. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. I haven't heard anybody mention this about Goodell was in the stadium when the Patriots played the Kansas City, and yet he doesn't come down and hand the Patriots the Lamar Hunt Trophy. Doesn't that piss anybody off?
No, it's not his job. That's not the protocol.
The franchise?
No, Super Bowl he does that.
No, we haven't. Like, that doesn't happen.
Conference championships, it's usually the TV broadcast.
Yeah, Jim Nance presents it to you.
Yeah,
I mean, I know, but he was in the building. Why couldn't he have done it?
I don't know. He's been in the building. He's been in the building in one of the conference championships games every single year, and he's never done it before.
Right, like Terry. I believe Terry Bradshaw gave McVay that trophy.
Well, you could tell we're getting close to the big game here, Bert, because the
sensitivity, the radar is up.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm not pissed that Roger Goodell didn't hand them
the
stupid Lamar Hunt trophy, the new one that sucks.
Be careful about saying anything nice about McVay or the Rams.
I'm not going to do that.
Or Gurley or Goff.
I'm not.
Or Aaron Donald.
No, that's to earn that.
And I'm not enamored with Sean McVay like a lot of people are.
I mean, I think he's a good coach.
Just
I think
be careful what you say.
I think he's making his quarterback look better than he is, and we'll talk about that. I want to talk about that.
Guy got a freaking kick back, man.
About that with you coming up, Bert, if you don't mind.
You got it.
Bob is in Quincy. Bob, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, so, Bert, just a comment based on, you know, being in the show, you were saying the first place you go to for this game is you think about the coaching matchup. This just relates to what you guys were saying. And, like, obviously, I think Belichick is a more accomplished, better coach than McVay, but I don't think that the Pats necessarily have some advantage because Belichick has 2 weeks to prepare. I think you can go back to 2007 and argue that in four of the last five Super Bowls we've been in, opponents were as prepared or even more so than the Patriots. And again, I'm not saying Belichick isn't an incredible coach. I just think that's not the first place that I go to for this matchup. And I'm curious if you want to kind of expand upon that.
No, I mean, like, I just like the idea. And I think it goes the other side of the ball, too. Like, I like McVay versus Belichick. I also think that Wade versus Josh McDaniels is pretty good, too. Like, we saw that play out over the years in Denver. And Josh didn't always have the upper hand in those matchups. And so what's fascinating about the coaching matchup to me is the in-game stuff, right? Like what you're talking about there. I also think it's the idea of this guy who is the greatest coach of all time, the greatest football coach ever to walk the face of the earth. And he's going up against a guy who could be the greatest coach for the next 20 years. It's like two generations of coaching clashing. I think that part of it's really interesting. That's all.
But the two-week factor, how was it last year? Defensively, were they great because they had 2 weeks off?
Nope.
I don't think they were ready to stop anything in that game.
And I'm not even factoring
in the Malcolm Butler decision.
And you can make the argument, like, Atlanta at the beginning of that game was going up and down the field on them. Like, Kyle Shanahan dunked on Bill Belichick for about three quarters of that game. So, there's a valid point there that maybe the 2 weeks aren't the factor that we make them out to be.
Not as valuable as you make them out to be, Bert.
I think the 2 weeks are a factor when you have a bye and you're playing someone who doesn't have a bye. But,
absolutely.
Right. But now, but this
level
is
level playing field.
Right.
Joe in Beverly. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention about that Jamal Adams guys.
Yeah.
The typical Jets, they should worry more about football and do what they're supposed to do instead of tackling an innocent person, and maybe they'll be where the Patriots are today. Thank you for my call.
I'm with you, Joe.
I'm with you, Joe, too.
I stand with Joe.
Go Pats. Defend the wall.
I might be wrong, but I don't think Jamal Adams body slamming Pat Patriot at the Pro Bowl has much to do with winning or
losing.
Yes,
it does.
I don't know.
Brad's in Boston. Brad.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I just first off just want to say, Zoe, it was great seeing you last night.
Thank you.
I kind of agree with what was said before. I mean, you know, I don't think the 2 weeks makes a huge difference. I mean, it's going to be a great matchup either way. Belichick's still here. Brady's still here. I mean, you saw the way he came out in overtime. I don't really think we've got anything to worry about.
You the Sudbury kid?
I am.
Your mother's got the dog walking thing, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Tails by the wayside.
What about this guy? I thought that was going down the insult
road. It's the one Maz and Tangway dropped their dogs off to.
Wait, your mother? Yeah,
so not Tangway, actually, but Maz's dog as well as the Shirelli's, Peter Shirelli.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Shirelli?
Why do people get animals?
That one came out of left field. Guys, wait a minute, but Maz claims...
Been around for 15 years.
Maz claims that he brings his dog to the same place that Tangway brings his dog. Maybe Maz is bringing it to a different place and doesn't realize that.
Maybe.
No, he's definitely bringing his dog to our place.
But no Tangway.
You make good money doing that dog thing.
I mean, it's a great way to make a living. I mean, we love animals, and everybody wants to make sure that they got the best care for their pets. So we do everything.
Nice. Do you laugh at people when they drop them off because you just put them in a yard and then there they go, on their merry way?
You know, it's pretty funny. You know, it's
do you offer that service where you can tie him up to the exit sign and then just send you a tweet and you come pick it up? Zoe's got that. The Canine Kingdom.
No, it's a lot more personal than that. It's a lot more personal than that.
See, that's how you get competition.
Do you have runner lines in the backyard?
Brad's not there anymore.
Oh.
Let's go to the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino
Casino, your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.